Welcome to another episode of Ordinary Old Catholic Me. Today is going to be a bit of an off-the-cuff Ordinary Old Catholic Me, as was one about a week ago. I missed last week because I was in New York and lots of stuff was happening. I think if I were to call this episode anything, it would be Failed Yet Again. Failed in what, you ask? Failed in following Christ in the ordinary challenges of my life. Oh, maybe to some in the outside world it would look like I'm doing mighty fine, that I am charitable and kind and practical and faithful, but in my heart of hearts I know that that has not been the case. I saw a meme on Facebook that sort of bears upon today's discussion, this diatribe of mine, and that is something from Father John Hardin, S.J., and the quote goes as this: "Ordinary Catholics will not survive this age. Only heroic Catholics will survive." Well, that kind of requires a name change for this program, although I'm still a very, very ordinary Catholic, and that begs the question as to whether I will survive this age, because I can barely survive the activities of my daily life, which are no harder than the activities of the lives of others. Let me just say, I did not acquit myself very well in the last few weeks, last few days, and especially in the last few hours. I did what I had to. I did what was even right, but I was not happy about it. I was angry at the universe, at God, at everything. A little pressure and I cave. I had planned this trip to New York about 2-3 months ago because I had not been there in many years. And while I don't have a pressing need to go to New York, I do have an aunt there who is 96 years old, going on 97. The last of the aunts and uncles on either side of my family, and my mother's youngest sister, what I think they used to call an Irish twin, in that they were only 15 months apart. My mother died 43 years ago. Yeah, exactly that. So this aunt has lived exactly double the number of years that my mother lived. My normal approach, though, I really do hate flying. I mean, I don't just dislike it, I hate it. Even if it's a nice and easy journey, I am always aware in the airplane that I'm 30,000 feet up in a tin can, that, you know, you read about various incidents and people say, well, you know, you could die of anything. And I agree, I could die of anything, but falling 30,000 feet, somehow that one really gets to me. So I don't like to fly. I am tense the whole time. I've always done it when I've had to, when there was some real special occasion, or I was able to skew my courage up enough, like when I went to Israel. Although as I was flying home from New York, I thought to myself, I can't believe I even did that. It must have been really horrible because I know I didn't sleep the whole time. So anyway, I had planned to go to New York because it had been 6 or 7 years. The usual trips that I would take every 2 or 3 years, I had not taken because obviously of COVID. And I'm not one who can fly in a mask. If I don't like flying to start with, flying in a mask would probably send me into some form of panic. So I finally was able to make the plan to go, and I told my aunt about, I don't know, a month or so ago, and she was just downright excited. I mean, she really was excited. I'm her first niece. She has always missed my mother. I remind her of my mother in some of how I look. I look a lot like her. I'm not quite as, what's the word, fashionable as she was, but I do look like her. And more so as I've gotten older. I had also planned a side trip to Massachusetts just for a couple of days to go to a baby shower. I figured I could do the two together. And so here I was on my way in about a week to go to New York to pay my respects to my aunt, to see how things were going. She does have help from my cousin, but you know, it's important at this stage of the game to see someone who has been so much part of your life and who really, from an emotional point of view, needed to see me. To be honest, I've often felt guilty about her because, although my cousin is there and she has some help, here I am in Los Angeles for years, and it seems that in many of those years I have helped other older people, but they haven't been my own aunt, and that always felt somehow, oh, not wrong, but somehow, what am I doing? Shouldn't I be doing more for her? But God places you where God places you, and I've done the best I can, or certainly what I could possibly do being so many miles away. And in fact, my aunt has had help from some other relatives as well, although they seem to have had some kind of a falling out and they're not really helping her anymore, although they seem to take care of her bills. But be that as it may, I don't know what's going on there. But let me put it this way. This trip was important for me to go on. And then, a week before the trip, one of the people that I've helped along the way, a good friend, passed away, and I am the person in charge of her funeral. Now, happily, I've had some help, but I always feel these burdens, and I feel them with great anxiety. It's my way. A bit of a paradox for a Catholic Christian, I guess. There wasn't time to do a funeral that she had requested in the way she requested it in the short time between her death and my taking off to go to New York, which I really could not postpone. Labor Day weekend was going to be in there as well, so, and then the needs of people coming into town and getting things gathered and all of those things that go with a funeral. So it had to be something I would be working on while I was away. At around the same time, I was diagnosed with something that lots of people are diagnosed with, which is hip arthritis, which in me manifested in a rather severe pain at the upper thigh, which, although I can tolerate the pain most of the time, also interferes with any of the basic things that I would have to do, like traveling and getting my groceries up the stairs and just walking from place to place. And I was going to New York, a place where walking is almost de rigueur. When I'm anxious, I do what lots of people do. I bite my nails. And so on the airplane, as I'm coming to New York, I realize that one of my fingers is inflamed and infected. So by the time I get to New York, it's looking a little bit like a bowling ball. Not really, but I'm telling you, it was pretty scary. I knew that I needed to do something, but I wanted to get to see my aunt and spend some time with her and, you know, just do my thing, and thought, well, I'll go to urgent care the next day, which I ultimately did, and they gave me an antibiotic and lanced the thing. So I was okay. Okay, it'll be okay now. It'll be fine. But then I made the mistake of walking too much. I especially wanted to go see a particular church, not terribly far from where my aunt is on the Upper West Side, but several blocks. And I walked it. And I got there and took lots of pictures, prayed. I actually prayed. That's the other thing that's happened during this trip. My prayer life just was shot. And so I went to this church, beautiful Blessed Sacrament on West 71st Street, and I prayed, and I thought, okay, it's going to be okay. But then after that, my leg was also shot, and so I couldn't walk very well, and I had to take cabs, which is, again, not impossible in New York, but kind of defeats the purpose. And I had also walked, that was perhaps a mistake, with my cousin from the place where my aunt lives to 44th Street, which was a significant walk, to go to see a really fun play, A Beautiful Noise, that I had planned on doing, taking my cousin or someone, but definitely my cousin, because she hadn't seen a play in some time. And that also turned out to be a mistake. I thought, well, I can plow through, I can walk. So foolish on my part, but that's what I did, thinking I was a 24-year-old instead of a nearly 70-year-old. My aunt is doing pretty well. She's, despite her age, she has clear memory, clear thoughts. She's stubborn, but she was stubborn when she was younger. And the only issue is that she really cannot hear. Despite having had hearing aids, they break, she can't put them in, she has arthritis in her hands, and she can't see very well either. So that put a bit of a crimp in the ability to speak with her, my cousin, who would come in from time to time, so we could also commune. We hadn't seen each other in some years. She has a better ability in speaking with her. I think part of it is the tone of her voice. She seems to be able to hear her better. So that was a little bit of a difficulty as well. And I guess, you know, the difficulty of my leg hurting me, my finger hurting me, and not being able to really communicate with my aunt was making me very, very tense. And instead of turning to the Lord, although occasionally I'd say, you know, Lord, you know, help me, this is a good thing that we're here together, etc., etc., I was just getting tense. My aunt took us to dinner, and she just loved having us there. And we went to some of her favorite restaurants, including Fiorello's, which is at the Lincoln Center area. And she can actually walk pretty well. She was able to go to church with me. But I was also kind of annoyed that she had not been receiving communion for the periods of time that she hasn't been able to go to Mass on her own. And it's partly her doing in that she seemed reluctant to ask, but also it seemed that having been a parishioner at that church for so very long, surely somebody thought to themselves to say, whatever happened to this lady who was working with the homeless and worked with the elderly, other elderly, who was an active member of the parish? I was able to set that up for her. I hope it goes forward. Tomorrow will be the first experiment. But boy, was she just so happy, kvelling, as they used to say in my part of town in New York, that she was able to get to Mass and receive communion. And then we did some lurking about, sitting at some of the nice tables on the street, getting coffee, which she really enjoyed. She doesn't get out as much as she used to. My cousin gets her out as much as she can, but there are limits, obviously, at 96 to 97 years old. I had told maybe a couple of friends that I was going to be in town, but I didn't really know what my schedule was going to look like because I really was there to see my own aunt, and that was the primary thing. But I was able to arrange sort of impromptu dinners with a few of my friends from Mount St. Ursula and from college, so that was pretty cool. But somehow or another, life being what it is, there were other obstacles, other things that just sort of popped up that made it impossible for me to go to Massachusetts. And I stayed, and my aunt was very happy that I stayed with her for the entirety of that weekend and then through the next week. But truth is, I was in pain a lot of the time, and I was eating Advils, which is dangerous enough, I know, but I had to. I even called the person who was about to be my physical therapist. I met her once before I left, and of course she really couldn't give me any kind of advice except to ice my back, not the leg. Apparently it's all coming from my back, the hip area, my back, and to, again, take Advil. So that's what I did, but it meant that there was so many physical things. And those of you who have had long-term chronic pain know about this, but I've never had this. And I was flummoxed by the little that I could do with the pain. And I'm ashamed to say that it distracted me, the pain, from this wonderful experience of being with my aunt and my cousin's husband and seeing my friends. I felt myself being a petulant little kid, and I was annoyed at myself for that. But like most human beings, I was also searching for an external cause to blame for my discomfort. And that always takes me down the wrong road. And I think the effort not to allow my aunt to see how stressed out I was also part of the stress. And as you probably know, traveling, even when your flight is easy, as mine was again, is a difficult endeavor. So many people, so much noise, so much redistricting, you know, go to this gate, go to that gate. so much activity in the plane. In my plane, it was a very small plane. It was only like three seats on either side of the plane. And it was like Grand Central Station the whole flight. People up and down, noise, dropping things. People sort of use airplanes now as a basement apartment. They bring their entire bedroom with them, and it's at their seat. So it was even, again, more stressful because I hate to fly, and now I was flying and it just felt so cramped and so disorganized, if you will. So anyway, I did make it home. But planning a funeral, while it's sort of cerebral thing, and much of it is done, is also a physical thing. Purchasing things, you know, carrying things, looking at old photographs, making a poster board, all sorts of things. And again, I have some help, but in my distinct pain, I found myself today alone trying to bend over, or was it yesterday? It may have been today and yesterday, and I just lost it. I was cussing up a storm. I was cussing at the universe. I was, I thought, on the edge of cussing God. And that got me really scared, because that shouldn't be happening. What kind of Catholic am I if I get that upset over the normal things that happen to us in our lives that I know from our teachings, that I understand has been transformed, suffering has been transformed, and it is to be used in reparation for sin and the salvation of souls. It is to be joined to Christ. And I was doing none of that. All right, I'll give myself a teeny bit of credit. I tried to do a little bit of it. There was some prayer, very little prayer, but there was some. But there was more of this anger and distress and complaining. If I can't be a decent, ordinary Catholic, what can I expect about even approaching the idea of heroism? I had to get back on track. Only one way to do that, and that's to go to confession. And that's what I did. In between all of the activities, stuff strewn all over my apartment, I went to confession. Boy, do I need the grace to begin again. The penance was to meditate upon how much the Lord loves me. I think sometimes I tend to avoid doing that because it requires something of me to love him back. And I'm not sure that I am really capable of that, certainly without his help. I think that's why I rant at the universe so often, instead of looking to him and embracing that which I profess to believe. It's also, I guess, a lack of trust. But God speaks to you in various ways, and this day he is speaking to me through my late friend, our late friend, Veronica. A mutual friend was with me going through some old videos of the various gatherings we had had over the years, and there was one little segment where Veronica said something we had heard all the time and I had quite simply forgotten, but it was exactly pertinent to what was going on within me. So let me quote it to you. Trust God for everything. God is good. Time is nothing. God is forever. Remember that. There are always problems, but you know that. We are in time. We want to be in God's time, which is forever in his love. No question about it. I'll have to keep that in mind, especially when I stand up after doing this program in pain and trying to move on to another task. And so ends a spontaneous version of Ordinary Old Catholic Me, talking about some real life events of the last couple of weeks and my own struggles to function with ordinary life as an ordinary Catholic. Talk to you next week.